Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. I mean, it goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we all call once again Fort Benning. Big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measures. And that's just the radio. That's just the radio footprint. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging in on the live stream in places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, all you podcasters, all you guys who catch it after the fact, catching up on what you missed or just hearing it twice. The bottom line is, wherever you catch this show, it means the world to us. Thank you very much. You're the reason why we do what we do, just to be perfectly honest. John from Huntsville checked in. Did you already read John's? John from Huntsville?
Not his most recent one, no.
Paul Feinbaum running for Senate is the funniest joke I've ever heard. Thanks for making me laugh, JP. I really need a good laugh.
Well, there you go.
Dave from Capshaw says, so the useless nations has been useless in all things Gaza. That would be true. I'm pretty sure the useless nations has been useless in a lot of things. They're good at taking up space in New York. There's that.
Pretty much it.
There you go. Chris from Gadsden checking in. I knew he would. He heard me. He says, about having court, I will get you some cheese to go with your wine. Thank you, my lawyer brethren, who has no compunction about issuing me a dish of grief. Thank you very much. He knows the deal. He has to go to court. Chuck from Huntsville says, there's an opportunity here. By simply announcing that you're running for the senatorial seat and picking up the media exposure, you will in turn pick up your listener base and expand it. See, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was saying, Chuck, when I said clickbait. Could it be just clickbait to up his game?
Could be. He's been in the media business for many years, so I don't know. Could be just another maneuver to gain more listeners. I don't know.
But then again,
does he need many more listeners? I feel like everybody in the SEC, his audience, knows who he is.
Well, right now, Will Cain on Fox is talking about this thing, and he's got Clay Travis on right now to say, basically, Clay, is this real?
I find it funny Clay Travis was the guy. I mean, I understand it, but I don't know. They picked Clay Travis to do that interview with.
Who would he do it with?
I don't know. I mean,
Stephen A.
Dean Cain. Dean Cain was the one that did the interview with Tuberville for when he announced he was running. So I don't know. I mean, it makes sense for Clay Travis, but you know, it's like, hey, Clay, you want to come talk about me running for Senate? It's like, it's interesting. I wonder who set that up that way for him to.
Hey, by the way, on the other split screen is what I was going to talk about in one of my dippers if we get to it today, the potential for a government shutdown. Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are now talking at the podium or the mic right outside the White House after they had a Trump meeting in the Oval Office. So Trump did call all four of the leaders of the House and the Senate, minority and majority, in to speak to them. I don't know what the result is. All I can see is I'm getting the usual facial expressions from Jeffries and Schumer at the microphone. We'll find out soon. The government could possibly shut down for a period of time starting tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. More on that. Grace from Madison says,
I think she was talking about an earlier text about Ilhan Omar in response to my monologue. So,
okay, is Ilhan Omar now an illegal alien? What are we doing here? What's the deal?
I think she was just talking. I mean, I mentioned her in my monologue, but Grace doesn't like Ilhan Omar and wants to strip her. So.
Oh, okay. Of her citizenship.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's clarify.
Yes. That's okay. Yes, of her citizenship. Yes.
Dave from Capshaw again says, hey, Phil, I'm not doing anything. Maybe I'll run for Senate. There you go. Give him some applause.
I'm having issues with the sound effects today.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the heck?
I don't know. I didn't have time to
leave the studio for an hour.
I didn't have time to look at it because I was doing the show, but yeah.
All right. How far did you get in the discussion of the shooting in the church yesterday? Where have you already gone with it? I don't want to repeat everything, but just give me a quick gist of where y'all been.
Well, so we talked about all the details of what we know, you know, four people dead, and how he rammed his truck into the side with gasoline too inside a fire, and then also opened fire on the churchgoers. But then also there's been an attempt by the left to find pictures of this guy wearing a Trump shirt in 2020, which some people are speculating could be even doctored. Apparently he had a Trump sign on his backyard if you go to the street view of his house. So they're automatically trying to claim that this was a MAGA guy and the MAGA terrorism incident, which doesn't track. I mean, him to shoot up, I think this was just a mentally ill, unfortunately, a mentally ill veteran who did something stupid. And, you know, it's tragic that that happened. But then we segued that into the attack on Christianity globally, linking that with what we're seeing in Nigeria, with really there's no other way to call it than just a, like an attempted Christian genocide in Nigeria right now. And this is just another instance of evil showing its face against Christianity, and that's the gist of what we covered.
So that's all I want to talk about, a little bit of that, and just add some more commentary to it, just to give it some, to sort of flesh it out a little more, because what you said was spot on. By the way, do we know, has there been any indication of motive or of like a manifesto left behind?
Nope.
Or a suicide note or anything?
Nothing.
Okay. And he was taken out by police, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't end his own life. He was taken out, like, was he in a gunfight with police, or did they just confront him and shoot him?
I think while he was opening fire on the churchgoers, police just took him out.
Okay.
Is what I understand.
Okay. Well, so I got a couple of thoughts on this to add to what JP said. And I'll expand it even from Christianity. I mean, I think if you look at, well, first of all, Trump spoke at the UN General Assembly just, what, a week and a half ago? Maybe last week? And one of the things he said in his excoriation of the uselessness of the United Nations was, you've done nothing, I'm paraphrasing slightly, but he basically said, you've done nothing to prevent the persecution of Christians worldwide. You've got that combined with all of the anti-Semitism we're seeing around the world, but especially like on college campuses and everything else, all the pro-Palestine, you know, liberation movement, the you know, from the river to the sea, all that crap. The reality is the anti-Semitism on the rise has been amazing to watch. I mean, like to see it in real time. And then you've got just, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you had that that crazed transgender who's scrawling things on his weapon like, where's your God now, and all that stuff, shooting children who are praying in a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Charlie Kirk, who I know was in part a political statement, but I also believe that that was an assault against someone who stood up for his faith and the values of his faith and promoted that as a part of his stance on everything. The core principle for everything he stood for.
Yep.
And then you have yesterday, the guy running his truck in the door of a Mormon church. What I'm saying is, taking all that into account with the Mormons, the Catholics, the anti-Semitism, the Christians, all of it, I think what we're looking at is an assault on faith. The idea that someone should have a God that they lean on, you know, a God in whom they trust, a God in whom they look to for salvation. There is a, in my opinion, this is as much a spiritual warfare battle as anything.
Yep.
And I think what we're looking at right now is truly an assault on faith. There are people who are at worship who are being shot while they're at worship. And I don't know that we've seen that in the United States. Now, there was a Dylann Roof guy who, you know, was a, we understand, was a racist. And that was, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah,
I believe. In a church. He went into a Bible study in the church and killed people there. But beyond that, I can't think of many church shootings like this, and that level of anti-Semitism and that level of attention being made on matters of faith. So anyway, all said and done, two things this. Number one, we are told in Scripture, and Jesus said it, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. So I will tell you this, do not let what I just said be the thing that keeps you from going to church.
Yep.
I will also say that if your church does not have a security program in place, then my next question is, why not? There is no such thing right now as a church that should not have a security plan. I don't care if you are the small country church with 15 people in attendance, or if you're a mega church with 15,000 in attendance. There is no reason in the world why your elders, your deacons, whatever you have, should not have already had a meeting that says, hey, how are we going to handle things? You know, who's the point person? Do we have security cameras? What are the protocols? In the event of this kind of thing happening, what do we do? In the event of this kind of thing, what do we happen? And by the way, who's going to be the one who immediately calls 911? What's our safe place in case we have to hide the kids? Know those things. And I would go ahead and say, if you are a congregant, if you are a member of the church, but you're not in leadership, there's no reason why you can't ask that question. Tell them at the same time, I'm not going to stop coming, but I want to know that my leadership is doing what it takes to make this a safe place for worship. And then at the same time, I'll tell you, there's also going to be a matter of faith here. You're going to go, you're going to worship, you're going to grow, you're going to expand on your own faith. You're going to do so without fear, because we are told to be strong and courageous and do not be fearful or dismayed, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. That's Joshua 1:9. But the whole crux of the matter is, there's also nothing wrong with being prepared.
Yeah.
There. I've said it.
And I'll add this last point, you know, before we go to break. But I mentioned the example. I said, you know, sort of the same thing. We can't let this intimidate us from going to church and acting out our faith. There was a video of from Nigeria of a church that was burnt down by Islamists, and the church goers went to the same church with the entirety of the church burnt to the ground around them. Literally only the foundation is still there, and yet they still went to that same spot in the church and still worshiped as if nothing had ever happened. And that's the example that I think that needs to be set for Christians, not to let that intimidate us not to act out our faith and go to church.
Outstanding. All right, brother, let's go ahead and take it to a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Going to dive on into some stuff, man. We got to talk about some government shutdown. I got to check on the news, because right now we're hearing that they just finished the meeting with Trump in the Oval Office. Don't know where it went, but we'll try and find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I tell you what, let's talk about this government shutdown thing for just a minute. We don't have details yet. They're still speaking at the microphone right now, so the details are yet to unfold from what happened today in the Oval Office. You know, whether or not Trump can exert the art of the deal on this one and close an opportunity, I don't know. I don't know that we're going to see something happen today. You know what's interesting? There's several things here. If you're not familiar, the government shutdown. All right, so I am frustrated to hear that we are looking at a potential government shutdown. I would love to believe that by now we were on to the regular order of business. What is happening right now is the passage of budgetary requirements to continue the functions of government that extend beyond what the original continuing resolution allowed. What's a continuing resolution? I'll go ahead and tell you that too, just in case I have to catch some of you up. And listen, if you don't already understand it, don't feel bad, because this ain't the way the world operates, all right? It's not like this. There's no business in the world that can do what government is allowed to do. It just doesn't work that way. Well, you know, we're really not making budget. What do you want to do? Just keep the budget the same. Really? Okay. And they just keep doing it. A continuing resolution is when they don't have a full budget passage. And the CR, the continuing resolution, is basically a passage of a resolution by the members of the body that says, we agree that we got more work to do before we can get a budget ready, so we're going to continue to extend that which we have already passed. It's like saying, more of the same, let's keep going. And that way, that is the force of law to allow... And I say allow, really, to allow the Office of Management and Budget and other, you know, disbursing agencies of the government to continue issuing checks. And I mean, that means paychecks for military, all of it. So what's the regular order of business? The way it's supposed to work, ideally, in reality, is they're supposed to have the appropriations committees and all of their subcommittees, like the subcommittee for transportation or the subcommittee for military affairs or whatever the case may be. You have all of the different subcommittees of appropriations that develop their portion of the budget, debate it in committee, hash it out, redline it, put numbers in place, and then submit it and then pass it through the Appropriations Committee as a piece of the budget. They all get sent forward, brought to the floor, and they are passed. And when they bring them together, you have the actual budget. Oh, there it is. That's not been happening for quite a while, in large part because D.C. is so dysfunctional. The crazy thing is you actually are faced with what's known as a government shutdown if they don't pass a budget or a CR. Well, they're not going to get a budget passed by tomorrow because the last continuing resolution was passed with a deadline of September 30th. In the interim, one thing I am heartened to know is the regular order of business is in play, but the Democrats keep stymieing it because the Democrats can't stand the idea of anything going good under the current Republican leadership. So the appropriations subcommittees have already brought out and passed three of the subportions of the budget. And they've done so in both the House and the Senate. So the framework is being built for the full budget, and the Democrats continue to filibuster, and they are stuck now with having no choice but to do a CR to keep the paychecks flowing and the expenses of government going and the bills being paid and the debt being serviced. And that's an awful position to be in. In the meantime, here's the other thing. Democrats, what are they holding out for? Why are they doing this? What do they want, Phil? Tell me. I'll tell you what they want. They want to shut down government so they can blame Trump, which is interesting because what they're doing is they're saying, we refuse to approve that which we approved a few months ago. Because they did. Chuck Schumer is the one who went to the floor and encouraged his brethren and sistren in the Democrat Party just a few months ago to accept this, which we are now just looking to continue for a short-term gap. Now, I'm not for CRs as a matter of course. I hate them. They bug the crap out of me. In Alabama, in the state Senate, we're required by our state constitution to pass a balanced budget every year. We have no choice. By constitution, we have to do it. Apparently not in D.C. But that being said, I do recognize there's been good movement on that, and I do recognize that we're trying to get that done, and I also do recognize that I've got family and friends that rely on a government paycheck. I've got members of the community that I know are going to rely upon certain things that are in there. And I don't believe that a government shutdown should take effect if the bill being passed or the resolution being passed is exactly what everybody agreed to just a short. I mean, we can remember it. It was last spring. Was it April? I think it was April. They passed the CR then, and everybody agreed to it. So what are Democrats doing now? First of all, they're posturing. This is friggin' political kabuki theater. You can go back right now and find clips of Schumer and Elizabeth Warren and all the rest of them saying, forcing something to a government shutdown is a cheap way of playing politics with our people's lives. And now they're doing it.
It's the only card they have.
It's the only card they have. They can't win an election right now. They don't have the majority. They hate Trump. And so they're going to do this because they want to try and show they're tough. We got to fight. We got to show we're fighting. Okay. You know what they're asking for, though? Here's the concessions they want. They want more money spent on Obamacare.
What?
Yes. They want to know that the tax credit for Obamacare is not going to go away. Do you and I have that for our Blue Cross? Do you and I have that for the other policies that we have to pay for out of pocket? No. But if you're on the Obamacare plan, they want the tax credit to remain in place. Otherwise, people's premiums are going to go up, and that's true. They also want to have an executive order rescinded that says that states cannot give Medicaid dollars to illegal aliens. That's what they want. They literally want to say California and Illinois and New York should be allowed to spend federal matching Medicaid dollars to give medical assistance to illegal aliens. That's a loser's argument. That's what they're doing. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Is it Meatloaf Monday? I didn't get to hear the sound effect, but we can't hear the sound effect because the sound effect board is out.
We can. If you give me a couple of seconds, I'll manually do it.
we'll work it. In the meantime, just know this. It's Meatloaf Monday, and we're glad that you're here. So this issue of a potential government shutdown. Look, my audience right now, I know, is filled up between Redstone Arsenal and other government agencies that are in around the area, in our listening area, in Chattanooga, and even down, you know, going down towards Fort Benning and all the others. A government shutdown is a big deal. It's painful. Now, one question I did see on the text line a moment ago is about whether or not people get back pay. Yes, government employees will get back pay. It does not mean they don't have an interruption in pay, though, for some of them. Now, there are those who were deemed, and I hate to say it this way, there's essential and non-essential. I hate it when government uses those terms because I think they're all essential until they're not. Especially our U.S. military. I have a hard time with the idea of the military being deemed non-essential for pay. If you're in a combat zone, you still get paid. If you're not in a combat zone, you're probably not. I do believe we're likely to see at this point a shutdown tomorrow. I don't think it's going to last long because I think that the Democrats will make their point and then come back and do a mea culpa and tell everybody why they have to go ahead. They can't allow the pain to be inflicted any further. I've got a clip here. This is Speaker Mike Johnson speaking, by the way, in his very calm demeanor on Maria Bartiromo yesterday. And before I do that, I will tell you that one of the things that was a question mark, and I spoke to someone in D.C. yesterday, was whether or not Trump was going to be able to get them in for a meet, and he did. And they said they were taking heart over the fact that Trump was, this is a senior member of a congressional office, said that they expected that that would be very influential and potentially positive. I don't know. Look, Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are not going to walk out of the Oval Office and go, we agree, because then it looks like they went in and got flogged in the principal's office, and they can't do that for pride reasons. Any decision is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be an 11th hour. If they're going to change their ways, it's going to be tomorrow. But Trump did meet with them today, and that's huge, because there was a lot of prickly stuff going out on the internet. I mean, Lord, I'm almost sick of being on X right now. X has become like a hate fest. I'm so tired of it. But the reality is, Trump did have a meeting today with the Speaker of the House, the Vice President, the Majority Leader for the Senate, the Minority Leader for the Senate, and the Minority Leader for the House. So he had Democrats and Republicans in his office along with J.D. Vance. And they wrangled, and they came out and made their statements. Now, to give you an idea where we were yesterday with the Speaker of the House, I've got clip number one. JP, if you got it, let's go ahead and listen to Speaker Mike Johnson on Maria Bartiromo talking about what Democrats are doing. Play it.
Still in this point where the Democrats just want to appear tough, like they're going against anything President Trump wants.
Exactly. And they're defying logic to do it. I mean, that's the whole point. Chuck Schumer got in a lot of political trouble because the radical left base in the Democrat Party accused him of going along with Republicans. What Chuck Schumer was doing in March when he agreed to the government funding resolution was the responsible thing. He needs to do that again. This is the exact same scenario. He has to do the right thing. He is making a very selfish decision here. He's trying to give himself temporary political cover. The problem is he's painted himself in a corner. There's nowhere to go. And I just think it's shameful that they're playing politics with all the services that the American people demand and deserve. They're going to be stopped. Troops, think of it. Troops won't be paid because Chuck Schumer needs political cover. I mean, it's really that simple. And I think everybody's going to see that clearly.
Yeah, I agree with him. I think it's shameful when you consider that what we're looking at is the Democrats don't want to approve what they already approved earlier this year. That's what we're doing. And that's where we are. Well, they came out, and I've not had a chance to hear it, but JP worked his magic, and he's already got a sound clip of the statements that were made. Who is this, J.D. Vance?
Yes, it's J.D. Vance after the meeting, talking about his thoughts on the meeting and what happened.
Okay, so Vice President J.D. Vance came to the podium along with Speaker Mike Johnson and Majority Leader John Thune and gave his statement as to how things went in the Oval Office. So let's hear that, and I'll react to it for the first time with you. Go ahead.
Just had a very frank conversation with the Senate and House Democratic leadership. Look, the principle at stake here is very simple. We have disagreements about tax policy, but you don't shut that government down. We have disagreements about health care policy, but you don't shut the government down. You don't use your policy disagreements as leverage to not pay our troops, to not have essential services of government actually function. You don't say the fact that you disagree about a particular tax provision is an excuse for shutting down the people's government and all the essential services that come along with it. If you look at what Chuck Schumer has said in the past consistently, it's whatever our disagreements are, let's negotiate with them, let's talk about them, let's figure out a bipartisan solution, but you don't shut the government down. In other words, you don't put a gun to the American people's head and say, unless you do exactly what Senate and House Democrats want you to do, we're going to shut down your government. That's exactly what they're proposing out there. Now, we have to remember, they're very frustrated. They say that they're very frustrated about the fact that this negotiation has not taken place until today. But if you look at the original thing they did with this negotiation, it was a $1.5 trillion spending package, basically saying to the American people, we want to give massive amounts of money, hundreds of billions of dollars to illegal aliens for their health care while Americans are struggling to pay their health care bills. That was their initial foray into this negotiation. We thought it was absurd. We told them it was absurd, and now they come in here saying that if you don't give us everything that we want, we're going to shut down the government. We think that's preposterous. We think it's totally unacceptable, and we think the American people are going to suffer because these guys won't do the right thing. Now, I want to make one final point here. You will hear a lot from Senate Democrats, from House Democrats, about the fact that American health care policy is broken. Well, we know that American healthcare policy is broken. We've been trying to fix it for the 8 months that we've been in office. But every single thing that they accuse about being broken about American healthcare is policy the Democrats have supported for the past decade. So if they want to talk about how to fix American healthcare policy, let's do it. The Speaker would love to do it. The Senate Majority Leader would love to do it. Let's work on it together. But let's do it in the context of an open government that's providing essential services to the American people. That's all that we're proposing to do. And the fact that they refuse to do that shows how unreasonable their position is. I think we're headed to a shutdown because the Democrats won't do the right thing. I hope they change their mind, but we're going to see.
Okay, so there's the Vice President of the United States saying he believes that we are headed for a shutdown. That's a crying freaking shame right there. And listen, what he stated was a statement of fact. Democrats can try to, there's no other way to skew it. I mean, they're out there on, you can go look at, if you have an X account, just go look up any other number of the libs who are saying, Jessica Tarlov, you can look up, you know, Hakeem Jeffries' account, you can look at any number of Elizabeth Warren, and just go find what they're saying. They are literally saying, we need to know that we're going to wind up, you know, subsidizing Obamacare. That's what they want to do. And yet, you know what? At some point, when do we stop paying the tab for Obamacare? I mean, what they're really trying to do is push us towards the idea of a single-payer system where everybody's on a government dole and we're all on an entitlement program. And that is just absolutely antithetical to where we want to be. Okay, that being said, why do the Democrats have any clout? We're in the majority, right? Why do they have clout? Because it takes 60. That's why. It takes 60 to break cloture. If you're not familiar, I'll just give you real quick before we go to the break. You have the debate of the bill, and the debate of the bill can be filibustered ad nauseum. I mean, they can layer their filibusters, and they can just drag on, drag on, drag on. They can keep this going for a long time just on the filibuster. To break a filibuster, you have to do what's called invoking cloture. Cloture requires 60 votes. We don't have a 60-vote majority. So what that basically means is in order to get to a simple majority vote of a passage, you still have to have a 60 vote on procedural invoking of cloture. And it's aggravating, but it's the rules and it's the framework. And while I am frustrated with it, I will say this, I don't want that to change. I do believe there needs to be a good, you know, order and a rule and discipline to why otherwise we'd have chaos. We would look like some, you know, third world country's, you know, parliament or something. So the fact that they have these rules in place is there for a reason, and no one's questioning that. But it is still the world in which we have to live. We need 60 votes to invoke cloture or an agreement to end the debate and just move on to the final bill. So that's where we are. Now, there's actually some great, and JP, I'm going to ask you to find this one. I do believe John Fetterman had some good things to say about why he believes a government shutdown is a bad idea. And so why don't we look during the break and see if we can find that? Because I think Fetterman has become, I'll be the first to admit, when Fetterman got elected, I was on the air ripping the idea that the people of Pennsylvania elected him. And he was, you know, stuttering and struggling with his words and struggling with, obviously, with, you know, mental health issues. And that guy has become, he's become the man. He's like the voice of reason. And I was up there in D.C. not long ago, and I walked past his office, and he's got the rainbow flag out in front of his office. So there's not like he and I agree on everything, that's for sure.
He also voted to keep men and women sports. So
oh, yeah.
Not 100%, but I agree. But I would say even if we did have a majority rule, we'd still have to worry about like Murkowski or Collins and them to vote on it anyway.
How crazy is it? He comes up on the screen while I'm talking about him.
They listen to the show.
They listen. I swear they do. Let's take a break. I'm going to call D.C. and find out how they keep doing that. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just some bulletproof influence, man. Bulletproof influence. So I've got a piece here real quickly. I'll just tell you, it's kind of one of those things that rubs me wrong. But I pulled this off of MSN.com. Dateline yesterday. Democrats are reportedly quietly planning a luxury getaway escape to a five-star resort despite the looming government shutdown. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is hosting its Napa retreat. Napa Valley. Nice. October 13th and 14th at the Hotel Yountville in Napa County. Politico reported on Saturday. A number of senators expect to be there, but yeah, the Senate Democrats campaign arm is indeed planning a two-day getaway at a five-star resort. At the same time, we're talking about, you know, troops not getting paid. That's a little hard to swallow. It's also really bad optics. I get it. It's like, what, 12 days from now. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, but it does feel like that. And especially when it gets reported like that. And if you look at it, MSN.com is not exactly a conservative website. So what we're looking at right here is the Daily Caller had originally found the story. It's now being reported always. Yeah, you read the things like, sleep deeply always in our luxurious accommodations. Soak in one of our oversized sunken tubs. Find warmth by your private fieldstone fireplace. By the way, people are going without pay because of you. Daily Caller News Foundation asked the DSCC to name the retreat's objectives and cost and other requirements, and they did not respond. So there's that. Now, I mentioned before the break that this government shutdown, by the way, it's like, it's one of those things where you can agree to disagree on a lot of things, but the interesting thing is you can agree to disagree. And then there's people who are on the other side, and you actually get to where you enjoy their company. I had it happen all the time down in Montgomery when I was in state Senate. I mean, I can still recall very positive conversations with Quentin Ross, who I like Quentin Ross. Quentin Ross was the Democrat minority leader in the Senate when I was there, and then he's now the president of Alabama State University. But Quentin Ross was absolutely a teachers union guy, and he's one of the most respectful, cordial, gentlemanly guys I ever saw. Enjoyed his company. Rod Scott in the House, same way, Democrat. I can name names like this and just go on about how there are some Democrats that they can stand for what they believe in and not be complete turds in the process. And one of those in D.C. who has truly surprised me, And I've been glad to say I've been surprised, because that means it's different than I had feared it was going to be, is John Fetterman. So Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, when he got elected, I thought, what in God's name just happened? The man can't do sentences. He's having to have all kinds of physical accommodations for his job. I mean, what in the world? Well, granted, he adhered to his therapies. He did what he had to do. He even checked out for a while and checked into a mental health center just to take care of some depression, because he was coming back from having a stroke. And he has done exceedingly well. It's interesting. I understand that he's actually become good friends with Katie Britt, Senator Britt from Alabama. I've got a soundbite here JP found for us during the break. Again, from Maria Bartiromo on Sunday mornings on Fox, interviewing Fetterman about his thoughts on a government shutdown. This is a Democrat. Listen to what he has to say.
He's been, will always remain on, is it is always, always wrong to shut our government down. That is a core responsibility. I'm always going to vote against those things. And if it's the Republican side, or now it's our side, I'm going to condemn it as well too. Especially with the kinds of chaos that we are facing after Kirk. And now there's a Cat 5 storm that might hit our nation too. Now, and you're willing to threaten us down. I was the only Democrat voting against that. And now that CR was the same CR from the Biden administration as well too.
Right.
For me, I'm a big believer of, if you want to change the policies, win elections. And that's really the way democracy works. And I didn't vote for the big, beautiful bill. And I do think healthcare, you know, could be a solution. But I don't think shutting our government down is the wrong thing. And that's why I think it's the wrong time, certainly at this point.
You know, Senator,
All right. How refreshing is that? Hear a Democrat say, while he's in the minority. I mean, it's one thing to say it when you're in the majority. Everybody can say, well, if you don't like it, go vote different. When you're in the minority and you know you can't control the flow, for him to say, and not grudgingly, if you want to make a change in policy, go win an election. That's spot on.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of a breath of fresh air. Yeah. But, you know, Fetterman has also been leading the charge lately in terms of saying he's one of the, I think, the only Democrat to say, no, actually, the recent temperature being risen in terms of political polarization is actually a Democrat problem, and we need to address that as a party. So he's been a breath of fresh air on a lot of things. I wish there were some more John Fettermans, maybe like five or six more John Fettermans, so that they could break closure. And
that's all we need, is five or six more Fettermans.
Just clone them.
How's that work? Anyway, all right, listen, we're gonna wind up taking a break here in just a minute, but the truth of the matter is there's more to talk about. You guys want to text in? I'll take those texts, though, next. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it, call it, same number for both. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, this show, all over the place, all over the place. We got Right Side Radio. That's radio. And then there's all y'all out there that live stream the show on all of our social media platforms and around the world. You're dialing in, we can tell, and watching us live stream from the studio. And then, oh, by the way, you podcasters, 353,000 downloads of the podcast of this show. Some of y'all catching it after the fact that way. I say all that to say, we love it. We appreciate it. You're the only reason why we do it. So thank you very much. This audience, y'all are like the Right Side family, bunch of Right Side ruffians, but we appreciate you more than you could possibly know.
I do have to correct you, though.
What'd I do?
Over 356,000 downloads.
Have mercy.
Yeah.
It was 353 just the other day when you told me.
Yeah, over 356,000.
Wow. Wow. Wow, JP. Okay, listen, that's cool. Text messages. Let me get a few of these real quick. Michael from Madison says, my mom had a stroke last Sunday. I'm so sorry to hear that, man. But she recovered well enough to be released from the hospital after 3 days. And already by now, she doesn't have any speech issues or impediments. So I personally know that sometimes a stroke victim can recover. And Fetterman totally has recovered a long way from what he was originally. It's nice to see anyone recover from a medical condition. Though it was weird as heck to see how hard they pushed him through in that condition at the time. Yes, it was. I mean, the man was visibly impaired when he first took office. It really bothered me. It bothered me that his wife was pushing forward on this, all of it, but nonetheless. And Michael, by the way, I am so glad to hear about your mom. Blessings on her in the name of Jesus, and I pray that she continues to heal. Dave from Capshaw says, did you hear that Eric Adams dropped out of the race? I'm not talking about that right now, Dave. But yes, I did. Thank you very much. Perhaps tomorrow we'll touch on it, but yeah. Question is, what happens with his votes? Do they go to Cuomo or go to Mondani? I don't know. Merle from Hartzell.
That was a conversation we had.
Oh, that was okay, yeah. Got it. So I scored away. Thank you very much. David of Bucky says, JP, so Bad Bunny is Super Bowl 60 halftime entertainment. You guys are not texting on topic today. What is happening here? Is it like an all call? Is this free for all Monday? What's happening? Yeah, JP, so Bad Bunny is the Super Bowl 60 halftime entertainment. I don't care for Bad Bunny. I don't watch the NFL. I won't be watching the Super Bowl. I agree. I think that's the most jackleg choice. And I realize I'm coming from perhaps a genre of people that's like, bad what? Bad who? Bad why?
No, but I'm the generation that listens to him and I don't like him. So there's that.
I mean, the guy is a complete heel. You talk about divisive. His public statements on things that people care about are so off color right now. Did you look at it and go, why was he the choice?
The Super Bowl halftime performances have been so bad lately. Like,
oh, they have.
Yeah. I mean, this is also the NFL. So Roger Goodell is not a very – I don't have much confidence in him to make good decisions.
I don't get it. Is Bad Bunny really a big deal?
He's a big deal internationally. Like, he's a I can't remember what country he's
from. This is American football.
Yeah, but global. But this is Roger Goodell also said he wants to have a Super Bowl overseas eventually, and they're going to keep ramping up the international games, so that he's wanting it to be an international league. I know. It's So
we're going to have, like, the team from Frankfurt and the team from London and the team from, like, Stockholm all playing against the teams from L.A. and Chicago?
Well, all I know is we want a war to have the Super Bowl here, not in London, England. So just saying. I think that needs to be taken into account.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that was a reach. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I'm always on topic, LOL. Yes, you are, John, sort of, maybe. Although you do throw also's in there all the time.
Yeah.
Mike from ARAB says, first and foremost, the lawmakers must go without pay also if they shut the government down. You know what's interesting is they won't. They won't. You know why? Because allegedly they're there hashing out the details of what it will take to get the government turned back on. So that won't happen. Joe in Tennessee says, 2 years ago today, a brave and dedicated Decatur police officer rid the city of Decatur of an armed domestic terrorist who brandished his weapon at some others. Threat noted, neutralized, alleged. Is that which case is
Jabari
that?
Jabari people.
Yeah, that's Jabari. No, that's the one in Birmingham. In Decatur, I believe, if we're not mistaken, is, and I just, because it caught me off guard here, I think that's the officer who came in on a scene where two other officers were unsure what to do, and he took out an armed assailant. So I'm almost positive. And then I had his wife on the show.
I'm not seeing a name anywhere, but
I'll find it.
Is it John Daniel Scott?
We'll find out. But anyway, thanks, Josie. Thomas Mathen says, Colonel, in my Christian faith, we believe that there is Satan working hard on earth to take souls to hell. Well, he is trying. He roams the earth like a roaring lion, man. Today we celebrate and pray to every day one of God's warriors, Saint Michael, the archangel. He says, we pray that he will help defend us in battle against the wickedness and snares of the devil, so we must battle with vigilance and faith-filled strength against those who have been corrupted by Satan. So, Thomas, I assume you're Catholic, but there you go. Thank you for that. And Saint Michael is also the patron saint of paratroopers, so there's that. Terry from Town Creek says, Doesn't Paul Feinbaum live in one of the Carolinas where his wife's a doctor?
Yeah, that's why he mentioned that currently, right now, he's a registered Republican in North Carolina. But yeah, that's going to be an interesting residency debate, as if they're all, like, there's always a residency debate, I feel like.
I'm going to bet that Paul Feinbaum really hasn't thought that part through. I'm going to bet that he's got a house in Alabama and he thinks that qualifies him. But then there's going to be the question of, what do you claim as your residency?
Yeah.
Where were you registered to vote?
Yep.
Did you homestead your property in one state or the other? And if you homestead it in both places, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what he said was he was a registered Republican in Alabama before he moved. He still has a house in Alabama and he's currently in the process of re-registering in Alabama, is I think what he said. So wonder if that's going to pass the test or not.
We'll see. Chris from Gadsden, who was giving me grief earlier about lawyering, just says, tip your waiters, I'm here all week. Turd. And Jeff Rowe from Indiana checking in says, Phil, I think the Bad Bunny should change his name to Dumb Bunny. Okay. He actually said he didn't want to have anything in the United States because his listeners would be afraid of being picked up by ICE. Well, yeah. If your listeners are illegals, maybe they should be. Yeah, the guy's a chucklehead. He's also, he dresses like Liberace, acts like, part of the NWA gang from way back, and then says stupid stuff that half the nation is now alienated from it.
But he doesn't care.
But that's okay. Neither does the NFL, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike from Huntsville says, 2 years ago was Stephen Perkins. That's who it was. Yeah. That's the name I was looking for. Indicator, the officer who shot him is appealing his prosecution to the Alabama Supreme Court. Okay, that's what I recall. All right, listen, this government shutdown thing is going to be a live topic overnight. There will be things developing. I suspect we'll talk about it again tomorrow. I do know for a fact that I've got at least Congressman Strong coming on the show tomorrow, possibly Congressman Palmer also, because both want to put their two cents in on this. I'm curious, if you will, if there's anybody out there who is a government employee facing the loss of pay for government shutdown, who's been through it before, I'd like to hear your experience in this. That's 833-687-4448. 833-68-RIGHT is the number. So if you're facing it and you've already been through it once before, I would appreciate you giving us the insight of what your experience was in that. Was it long? Was it painful? Did your creditors help you out? Did you actually stay home from work, or did anybody get expected to work without pay for a period of time? I'm just curious. And it's civilian or military. I'd like to hear your experience. So there's that. The other piece of this is, what are Democrats going to do? They cannot cave, or let me phrase that. They cannot be perceived to be caving to Trump. So they met in the Oval Office today, and they're automatically going to begin going, I don't know, man, what should we do? Well, I don't know. They're not going to walk out of the Oval Office and immediately go, well, we've changed our minds, because then it'll look like Trump just flat out like excoriated them and scared them and they changed their mind. I'm going to make a prediction. I just learned there's a Cat 5 storm in the Gulf, and I saw the radar map, and it's big. It's heading towards the Carolinas, am I right?
That's its current trajectory, yes.
It's coming up the Georgia coastline area, but it's not on the coastline. It's just spinning out in the Atlantic right now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, but it is on trajectory right now to make potential landfall in the Carolinas. I'm going to predict that since FEMA is possibly subject to the shutdown, the Democrats are going to use that as their excuse of why they won't shut down government now, but they want some concessions later. And they'll say, because we're not heartless. We know that people need to be taken care of. We have a storm coming. We'll see if they do. Never mind the fact that Democrats did a horrible job when the train turned over in East Palestine, and they didn't do anything hardly to take care of people. In fact, they made it worse. Or when the Carolinas were flooded, and East Tennessee, too, flooded, and people's homes wiped out, and they didn't show up to do squat. I do believe they're going to wind up using the storm as part of their grounds for why they just won't turn government off now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We may have reached like 6 hours into a government shutdown, and then Hakeem Jeffries and Schumer will say, well, unlike the Republicans, we got a heart for the American people, and we know that there's a storm coming, so we'll open it back up for the American people, unlike the Republicans who wanted to keep it shut. Yeah. That's what they're going to say.
And I guarantee you, isn't there a very hotly contested race in New Jersey's governors, and also I think there's a hotly contested race for the Senate in a special in the U.S. Senate in Virginia. I could be wrong, but what I'm going to say is, I bet they're going to say, we have heard our Democrat brethren talk to us about how important it is that we not allow the coastal regions to face a shutdown in the face of this pending storm. So
yeah,
you watch. Here it comes. All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. A couple of quick texts and I'll go to the phones. Karen from Chattanooga says, hey, from Chattanooga, Katrina is another example of when FEMA failed. Great documentary that recently came out on Netflix. Footage of either the idiot mayor or the governor tossing a water bottle out of a helicopter down to victims. Yeah, that was a absolute travesty of leadership. That was an awful situation. And I don't know if Democrats learned their lesson or not, but whew, that was horrible. And they like to blame it on Bush, which is amazing because Bush is asking them, take federal help, take federal help, take federal help. And they're like, no, we don't want it from Bush. And then they just, everything went downhill from there. Merle from Hartzell says, hey, Phil, Democrats want to shut down the government and non-essential people go on layoff. My question is, why are military folks, and I'm talking about present and retired, they've served their time, and then there are the disabled and widows who are not getting paid. Think about single mothers with children. Listen, I get all that. And they care more about illegals. I agree. It makes no sense whatsoever. John from Huntsville says, JP gets a solid A for his outstanding performance. However, today's winner, even though he missed half the show, is obviously the magnificent Phil Williams. Wow. Wow. If we had an applause track right now, we'd play it.
You didn't miss half the show.
Just like 40%.
You came in a segment early than half the show. So, yeah.
Thank you.
That's not fair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's go to the phones right now because he's on there. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I've been better. I've been worse.
Okay. Not enough fried fish and pickled eggs up there for you?
No, I didn't even do that today. But I have clear of Nashville. That's the main thing.
There you go. Well, that's good. You're already on the north side of goodness then. So, well, what's on your mind, brother? We've talked about several things today. Political violence, violence in general, and then we talked about the government shutdown. What's up?
Well, you know, Phil, on JP... Yeah, you get these fill-in hosts and everything, but I don't think any one of them's any better than what JP is. He's well beyond his years in intelligence, I think.
I would say he is like an old soul in his body. That's exactly right.
But, I appreciate that, Jeffro.
In fact, if he had a voiceover to characterize your voice, I think I would have not known you wasn't even there.
Nice.
I appreciate that.
I have more hair, though.
Yes, he does.
For now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, what good things do you have to say besides that? Well, that was a good thing. What am I saying? Which one do you mind news and politics wise?
The shutdown and everything.
Yeah.
Congress is supposed to submit a budget every year.
Yeah.
And. I mean, it's laziness, dereliction of duty. It's basically, we don't want to touch this thing. We just want to keep it going because we don't want to be blamed for cutting any spending. What's it going to be like when we actually have a government shutdown because the economy has collapsed because the dollar is worthless? That's what
I hope we don't get to that point, brother, but you're right. I mean, how long can they keep this trend going? You can't just keep borrowing and spending. At some point, you run out of other people's money.
Yeah, I mean, we've already the interest is more than what we spend on defense already.
Yeah,
and we spend a lot of money on defense.
Yeah,
and so what's going to happen to the rest of the world when we collapse? And it's coming. I mean, they just keep pushing it off. I don't want to be the one to upset the apple cart until the apple cart falls over, and then it's like, oh, maybe we should have done something like back then when we could have.
You know, the interesting thing is, too, and it's not getting enough airtime because they don't want to give Trump credit, but the economic indicators show that we had a 3.8% growth in the economy that Democrats hate because it happened on Trump's watch. And they also don't want to talk about the fact that the tariffs are actually bringing in enough money right now to where we actually made budget several months for the first time in God knows when. And so there are changes, and the Fed finally cut the interest rate. So we are seeing changes, but you're right. The budgeting processes themselves are a big part of our problem, and they've got to get back to regular order business and pass actual budgets that show streamlining and some measure of cuts.
If somebody doesn't get a backbone and we have a budget like Alabama has where you have to have a balanced budget amendment, this country is doomed. It's just a matter of time.
I have really not heard much from the Freedom Caucus of late. Have you? I don't recall seeing many headlines with the Freedom Caucus actually like making waves. No. Not since they fought about the Speaker of the House being elected have I seen really them do anything.
I mean, doesn't do them very much good. I mean, we've got such a thin majority in there right now. If they waver, then the Democrats will take control. So can't really say nothing with the numbers we've got right now, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
And one thing, I have a little thought of prayer today. My daughter had a gallbladder attack last night and had to have her gallbladder removed a while ago. So she's doing real good.
Was that an emergency surgery then? Was that an emergency surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her name is Ashley.
All right. Well, Lord, we just ask you for Ashley for a complete recovery within the name of Jesus. That our doctors would be skillful, that there'd be no issue, and this would be something that passes by quickly without difficulty in Jesus' name. So there it is, my brother.
I sure do appreciate that, Phil.
I'm believing it. All right, man. Well, listen, you be safe on the road. The music's going to play here in about 45 seconds. So we appreciate you, and we will talk tomorrow, okay?
Y'all have a good one. Thank you very much.
See you, buddy. All right. Well, listen, I say it all the time, but the bottom line is this audience is like, I mean, I can have crazy days in court, bad days as an attorney. Not every day. I'm just saying that sometimes I do. I can have the weight of the world on me, and I come in here and get on the microphone, and I have a good time, and I go home in a better mood, which Charlene really appreciates. So from Charlene and me, thank you very much. Last couple of quick texts. I saw some come in from federal employees. Brad from Madison says, I retired from federal service last year after 32 and 12 years active duty, years as an Army civilian. I've been through several government shutdowns. We always got paid after the fact. What isn't talked about is the wasted effort spent preparing for the shutdown. HR preparing, sending letters to commanders. Senior civilian leaders must go and sign and provide to employees. Plans for providing mission essential services during the shutdown. Some things have to keep going no matter what happens. Explaining what to expect to employees and supported units. We had SOPs for shutdowns because they happened or were threatened so frequently. Right now or right next... Well, I'm not sure what he means here, but next, organizations on Red Zone are preparing. Oh, right now, he says, organizations on Red Zone are preparing for the shutdown instead of giving all to their mission. That is an excellent point, the second and third order effects. Well, Brad, thanks you for your service. In the meantime, thank all of y'all for your service. We'll pray there's not a shutdown, but in the meantime, do not forget what I say. There are more of us than there are of them. God is still very much on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.